saying about the population, I would just like to add on to that we're also looking at a growth of our career level service that we know is always there 24/7. But we also need to balance that with we have a reduction in our volunteer service. Mm-hmm. Despite our best efforts, we're seeing a reduction in that. We get volunteers every once in a while, and they stay for a little while and they leave. But compared to where we were 10 years ago, we have a lot less volunteers. So it's, I'm just asking, you know, that be considered, that it's not necessarily us ballooning up our fire service. It's having to further augment a little bit more career staffing because we don't have the volunteer staffing we used to.
One thing I want to add to it, if I may, I don't, and you know, it just is my thoughts. I don't see it as, you know, our population is remained the same or decreased, and we're trying now to implement quite a few more staff members to the fire department. But could it be that maybe all this time we've been woefully understaffed anyway, and it's not like we're trying to really augment something that's already great, but we're just trying to get up to a standard? Is that right or wrong?
I would agree with you there.
And that's so,
because we're not in the long-term plan. This is not designed to make us look like Tallahassee or Gainesville. We'll never be that, and we're not trying to get there. But that's where in the plan we've established one person, one firefighter, a shift level position at these outlying stations to augment our volunteers. And that's when, like I said, because it's kind of where we should already be at, you know, because then like when you see in the plan where it shows all the times and response times, we're trying to be able to, all those red categories, get rid of those.
And what concerns me is I know that you've had not the proper number of firefighters available to go when they go to a scene. I don't think you've been able to have one on the ground and two inside or whatever your formula is.
Yeah, and that's
not been able to do that. I've heard from firefighters in the past.
Yes.
About their concern for not having the backup there when they go into a burning.
And that's one building. Of the, if we take the second person that would be future station two, if we put that at station one, that gives us a four person company there that will always have that two in, two out. And what that is, anytime we show up, if we send two firefighters into a burning building, there has to be two outside that if something goes wrong, they can go get them. Yeah. And that gives us, as soon as we show up, we have those numbers.
Well, you know, I know that Bruce came over and he gave us his presentation about he needed another staff person. And I see in the budget where Dana needs another staff person. But if it comes down to cutting a firefighter versus a staff person, to me, that's a no-brainer. You know, because they've been operating. It'd be nice for them to have it, and I hope we can give it to them. But if it comes down to firefighter safety or a staff person,
no brainer.
Right.
And like Ms. Bates said a minute ago, like I said, anything is better. Any one more set of boots on the ground is a big deal for us. We had a structure fire Friday where we ended up bringing those coastal stations to town because we were all completely wrapped up into this fire, which was down a really, really long driveway, that there was no, we're going to break off and take another call. So those crews were moved. So if we had any other calls in the county, we had those people there. If it hadn't been Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, it would have just been one person providing that countywide coverage for us. And like I said, that's what we're looking forward to saying. How can we put ourselves in a better spot? I'm very proud of our firefighters that we do a very good job of making sure we answer every call. But like I said, we want to make sure we're doing the safest way possible and the most effective way possible.
Now, phase one, as it is now today, how much money do you need for phase one?
Phase one in its entirety, as we presented, was $355.
It's the same total as it was. It's just distributed.
Okay, $355.
The alternative plan, it was $355.
$355, $115. Right.
Okay.
So it's the same as it was when we originally presented it. But instead of putting that extra person in Steen Hatchet, we're saying let's move it to town instead. So instead of only being in that area, it's whole town. Okay.
So if we eliminated the positions that's been asked for from the property appraiser and the supervisor of elections, that's over 100,000 right there.
But that's in the general fund.
That's coming out of the general fund, though.
This is MSTU.
That wouldn't have any effect on MSTU.
That's right. That's right.
Did you ever come out with a millage figure on the two position?
It would be 1.2250, so it would go up 0.0573. So on somebody that pays $100,000, it's $5.
Be how much?
$5.
That's nothing. You know, and the 0.23 is not a whole lot. 0.23 is $100,000, $23 on you. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my beach house. Not that it affects me all that much, but it's probably assessed a little less than 100.
I just did
a second.
Well, now,
what about
the $20 extra there, but $20 versus $5. It's just a matter of, I want you to get something today, because you've been here numerous times, and I want to say again, I appreciate all the work that you put into this. I like your leadership skills, and whether it's two or whether it's five, I can live with whatever the group as a whole comes up with. I want you to not go away today empty-handed.
I echo his feelings. Now, what about with the sales tax? Is there any? Tell us again, because we never voted on how we were going to divvy up that sales tax. I mean, we've never officially said 25%, 25% or whatever. So, again, how was that proposed? I'll let you talk. In the beginning. Where is it at now?
25% is going to the sheriff for one more fiscal year based upon how it currently was before last week's discussion. It's the only allocation that we currently have in place for this fiscal year.
So we still got 75% that we can.
But we've allocated 25% in this
hospital
for 3 years for the hospital.
So that leaves.
But we can't spend this money for his need.
Well, we're already paying for the lease for the new fire truck out of 1 cent money. So we've already.
Yeah, you can't pay salaries out of
that. No. Operational.
I wish we could.
Commissioner Dimps.
Yeah. Tell me, how many people you've got down at the airport?
At the airport, our normal staffing is one fire officer and two firefighters. So three at the airport.
That's three people.
For countywide response.
Only three. I thought you had a house full of them.
Okay.
Just three.
Is that the most beat I make any day? Is three people, look, four or five? Tell me.
The most we have any given day at the airport is three, and our minimum staffing level is two. Okay. So if somebody calls out, we have a minimum level before we guarantee that somebody's mandatory on overtime.
Okay. So
that's plus you, and then plus our safer grant.
He's saying just at the airport.
Right.
Now, your office not at the airport?
It is. But like I said, that's Monday through Friday. And yes, I go countywide myself. And then even if it's midnight, if they call me, if they make the phone call that says, hey, we need the fire chief, I'm.
Yeah. And you got another officer down there, too. What is he, the supervisor or something?
The lieutenant on shift. Like I said, we have a lieutenant on that manages the crews on daily. He's the initial incident commander on any calls.
So that's four people. What I'm trying to get at is how many people we got down there. You don't have a fire every day and all day. So if you got five people can respond, even though they're officers and whatnot, even to the chief. You know, if it was a big city where you had to have, you know, you need somebody to make out a shift schedule and had other officer duties to do, I can see that. But you had how many fires last month?
I didn't go back and look that up.
Or three, four?
Yeah, and, well, I mean, it's more than just, we run, like I said, it's not just the fire department, it's fire rescue. We run a
myriad. You help with the rescue, too, from the hospital, EMS, and all that.
Like I said, we do a whole bunch of different operations out of there. It's one of those, if you don't know who to send, send the fire department.
Yeah. But let me tell you the reason I'm asking you these questions, because the newspaper do a good job of capturing what we say and what we do. All I'm trying to do is get a justification for getting other people on staff that when they look at it and say it only costs every individual in this county $10 more per year to bring two more people in, everybody can understand. That's a no-brainer. So what I'm trying to do is get it out there, so when people see two new people hired with the fire department, they don't see somebody coming in making $60,000 a year. They see people in need, and they only see $15 more on my tax bill or whatever. So that's the point we're trying to get on. We do a poor job of getting our information out to the public, because when the little stuff they talk about, the people you hear talk, I see the fire truck down there at Ken's, I see the fire truck down there at a Popeye's and all this kind of stuff. You know, that's small to me. But when people need help, I see that.
And that's, need to be doing. And like I said, and that's where you're right. Like I said, because Station 1 at the airport, like I said, we have the three firefighters on, plus myself, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And if I'm off or out of town, it's three, possibly two. And I agree with what you're saying. And, you know, there are times when it's like, oh, we only had, how many fires did you actually have? But it's when we have that fire in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
That, I mean, time after time, we're having to figure out ways to fight these fires with two and three people. And it's a very extensive process that, you know, and it's hard to really to put that into words until you see the firemen out there just dripping sweat and giving it everything they've got. And, you know, and when they get to the point where they get up to go put on another air pack and go back inside, and they don't have anything more to give. It's hard to really put that into words, and it's hard to explain that. Like I said, it's until you see it for the first time,
yeah,
is when you really realize, oh yeah, that's why they needed to get that one extra man. Would have made a world of difference.
Well, the other part of that, I can understand that when you go, and most people will see the importance of fire personnel when they need fire personnel. You know, hope to God we don't ever need you. But if we need you, we need to see people on boots on the ground doing what they can do. Right.
And the other one too, myself, in that, you know, I very often go through these white shirts pretty fast when I get on the fire scenes. But when I show up on these scenes, especially the larger house fires and stuff, my role on that is not to put on the gear and go inside. It's not supposed to be. Mine is to be stay outside and manage the incident, command everybody, because when they're going inside, they can't see the big picture. I basically play a chess game on the outside, just moving pieces around. And that's one of those, when you're running, I've got to look at it and say, how many of my people do I have? How many are that exhausted that, you know, I can't send them back in? They would willingly do it, but I need to be able to recognize that it's not safe. And that's part of, you know, my job in the big incidents is, you know, using my 20 years of experience to manage all of that.
Okay. But let me tell you something. I was with a group about 3 weeks ago, and we were saying, what does Taylor County good at? Taylor County is good at responding to the needs of the system. That was the number one thing out of 15 people. So my hat's off to you, too. The only thing I want to get out is that if it's only costing me $20 a year to hire two more people and put in the fire department, that's a no-brainer.
No brain.
Yeah, I have to add something. I have a constituent that called me, and every time I saw him, he was talking about the fire truck at Goodman's. Yeah. And so when I asked administration, this was prior to our current, it might have been back with Jack, and he said, listen, he said, under their union contract, they are allowed a lunch break, and that you're allowed to go and eat when you can. So once I told him that, he kind of left me alone about it. But y'all are allowed that lunch break. The same thing is you'll see the ambulance down there sometimes. They got to go eat. I know you cook some, but...
Yeah. Most of the time they try to go shopping and they, you know, even... And there's always, well, why are we paying for that? But they're there for 24 hours at a time. And like I said, they've got to eat, you know, they've got to do certain things. And like you just said, you know, sometimes they, lunchtime goes by because they were on a call, and when you're done or doing whatever, yeah, it's just go out and grab something real quick. So, yeah, from time to time, you know, they'll go out to eat. And generally what we see from the public is they're not usually upset with us about that. And our guys do a really good job because when the kids and everything see the fire trucks in the parking lot, they take them over and they let them sit in the truck and they, you know, let them take pictures and stuff like that.
And I want to say one other thing, too. I have come up on a wreck more than one time and saw you there. I've seen you out on the beach road. I've seen you at other places that are north end of town. So when there's an accident, y'all are there. Mm-hmm. Y'all are there. Marty?
I was just going to point out that what these citizens don't see is how many times they have to get up and leave their food. Where they're not eating because they have to respond to a call. The second thing is there are a lot of high hazard areas now that they cover. They've got the Kimring, they've got the Amtag, they've got the Buckeye, they've got way more high risk areas than they used to have to cover. So, I mean, to justify a couple extra people is not a hard thing to do.
I don't see how we can deny.
I can't deny.
I don't see how we can, in good conscience, deny your request.
I would suggest.
Let me ask another question.
Sure.
Buckeye used to have a fire truck. Do they still have?
They have a smaller. They still have a fire truck. They have a fire brigade. I think they have, on any given shift, I think five of their OSHA firefighters there. But their truck isn't a full fire truck. It's more the size of a brush truck. It has a small little tank on it, and then they work off of just their hydrant pressures and stuff out there. If they have any significant fire, it would be handled by us.
Okay, let me ask you another one. Kimring, Pace, Amtag, Les Lethal, do they have any kind of fire suppression system?
As far as like a fire brigade?
Fire truck, yeah. Fire brigade.
No, the best that Amtag, when they were built, when that design went in, they had to put in a water system so we'd have hydrants and everything out there. Kimring, not so much. But no, as far as firefighters, no. Kimring used to have a little team with a... But theirs were in case their flares caught brush fires, but that stopped, I think, 8 years ago or so. So no, there's no fire protection.
Go ahead.
I wanted to hear from Commissioner Moody.
I'm just fixing to ask.
And then I have a suggestion how we can move this thing forward if you'd like to hear. Jim?
I'm going to say, out of all the departments, I've got complaints from my constituents. I've never got one complaint about the fire department. Mm-hmm. I say that. There's a couple other departments I have got to complain about, but I've never had anybody complain. I've always heard good things about the fire department. And I'm backing 100% with the business. People don't think about a fire truck, they see smoke. You know, most people, but I've talked to a lot of people in my district, and they're fine with an increase in the tax remitted to make sure we got fire trucks, good fire trucks, and responsible people running. So I'm bound to.
Yeah, one other thing too. I agree. Part of our job is to protect our citizens, and so I'm all for having good coverage like you're talking about, but also I want to protect the firefighters that we have who are going in, that they've got somebody that can, when they are exhausted, as you said, or whatever. I want, when they go in, I want them to come out safe.
We can get by with a Ford instead of a Cadillac. I understand that. But we need to make sure it's just like a hospital. You got to have fire trucks, you got to have ambulances, and you got to have a hospital. So I'm there.
Commissioner?
I'm going to suggest, Madam Chair, that we instruct staff to factor in a 0.23 millage increase tentatively, because this comes back in August for a public hearing. And once we establish today a millage number, 0.23 or point whatever, a smaller number, we can't exceed that. We can back up on it. So if we set 0.23, then we can't go over that come August. But we can lessen it down to that smaller number if by then we've got more input from our system. And I'll support that. Or if you all want to start with the two and set the millage at that, I'll support either one.
I thought it was a 1.23, but you're saying 0.23?
That gives you five people.
That goes your phase
five
one.
Or two.
Mm-hmm. Phase one that we talked about, when I talked about earlier, that's the 0.23.
0.23.
It's an increase.
That gives us three more people in Perry and two more at
Keaton Beach.
Now, the other option with a lower number would give us two people.
At Keaton Beach.
So that's our choices right now that we've talked about. Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow you'll tentatively set it, and then we'll have tomorrow evening, and then our first
public hearing is September. We've got to decide which village number we're going to set it at.
Yes, sir.
But if we're going to give the fire department any consideration at all, you've got to set it somewhere higher than zero.
Right. What's and then you can come down at our first
public hearing. But you can always come down, but you can't go up.
Right.
What's the difference between the high number and their low number?
$15 a month on a $100,000 house.
Yeah. If you do the phase one, it would make your millage rate be a total of
1.4010.
1.4010 would be your total MSTU if you did phase one. And if you did just the two positions, it would make it be 1.2250. And that difference is only 0.17.
So. And it's 1.12?
If you do the two positions, it would be 1.
What is it without the increase, 1.12?
Right now it's 1.1677.
Two positions is 1.1?
Two positions would be 1.2250.
And
your five positions or phase one would be 1.4010.
Now that doesn't make sense. I mean, there's no math to the numbers of a job. If you can hire five people for the same price, you can hire two, hire five. I'm just...
No, if you do five positions, that's an increase of $355,000, which would make your millage rate go up to 1.4010.
I would talk about the additional millage. Now, if you do five people, the millage is going to go up by 0.23.
Right.
If you do two positions, the millage is going to increase by how much?
By 0.0573.
Mm-hmm. And that's $5 and
$6
per $100,000. $6 per $100,000. Ain't nobody gonna fuss. I don't think about that. Mm-hmm. Question is, where do you want to set it at? The number today, tomorrow.
Right. You tell me.
What do you think?
What do you think, Jim?
I go with $6.
With the $6.
Commissioner Demps.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right, let's go for it. All right. Like I said to you, something's better than nothing.
That is right.
That's right.
So now that's an increase of 0.23 mils.
No, ma'am, that's no, the ma'am. One that's the increase of the 0.0573.
Okay. And that's going to fund two positions.
Now,
as far as I'm concerned, you put the positions where you need them the worst.
Yes.
Like I said, with that one, that'll turn Keaton Beach in 24 hours.
Well, we talked about that, and then Jim said he wanted to go with the point of whatever. Six. The other two said the smaller number.
See, I'm okay with going ahead with the higher. We can always set it at the higher. We can come down.
We're changing it now.
Let's do that.
0.23, and then we have a right to come back down.
Yes. And that would give you five.
That would give us the entire thing we asked for.
I feel good about that.
So we still got a decision to make, five versus two or three or whatever, after we've had public input.
And I want to say that, this is not frivolous. This is something that's greatly needed in our community. And it's our job to help the public understand what we're doing in terms of protecting them. And that's our duty. So, and I feel like this is just something that we have to do. We've got to provide you with what you need to protect the people and to protect your firefighters.
And it's like, I think all of you said, you know, it's one of those things that the average person doesn't think about the fire service, and we're probably our worst enemy, because, like I said, I'm very proud of our people that they probably think they have more service than they do because we put out fires fast, we get there as fast as we can, and they probably don't realize how hard we have to work to get to that point. And even when we add, say we get both of these positions, we're not going to stop working that hard. We're still going to work that hard. It's going to make us look like an even, you know, even more. Like I said, we try to make the most of everything we have. And like I said, but the average person doesn't realize what exactly we need, because, like I said, you don't think about the fire truck until your house is on fire.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the citizens are getting something for their money. They pay a little bit more, but they're getting something in return. And that's fire protection, plus all the other things that you assist with emergencies. Now, looking forward to next year, you know, we talked about trying to get another additional 1 cent. We can go to 1 and 1.5, but and it might be something that we want to do if we decide to do that, to include the fire department on that too, so, and make it so that it will fund salaries, staff.
Right. Madam Chair.
Yes.
One of my constituents, who is a volunteer firefighter, Mr. Wallace Holmes, is here. Wallace, are we on the right path from a citizen point of view here? What our options are to fund either 5 positions or 2. Do we need any additional fire people?
We need additional fire personnel. We've got volunteer firemen, but according to what time of day it is, the fire occurs. And sometimes, like, I might be out of town and we got a fire, I hear it and I get back here as soon as I can. But the fire department is in need of additional fire personnel.
And you're going to help us sell this concept?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I 100%.
That's why I'm already here.
He's sneaking something right behind him here.
Okay. Well, we're going to hopefully we can help you out.
Okay.
That's our intent.
Don't wish me, I'm going to go back to the office.
All right.
Okay.
Smile out when you leave.
I want to thank you for your hard work and your patience. Like Commissioner Page said, you've been before several times, and most of the time you said no. But
you say yes to, but I come to you so much, I'm like, I'm waiting for him to just start getting annoyed with me at this point. But no, we appreciate everything that the board has done for us. It's not forgotten. You know, we've got a new truck sitting in our bay that we're buying, so we're thankful for everything. But it's my job to make sure you're aware of the stuff that he's doing.
And we thank you and the firefighters, and please tell them so.
Tell your folks, we've got them.
Just more of this before.
Trying to cover their backs up.
Okay, solid waste. Who's going to lead the way?
I'll lead the way on solid waste.
Go ahead.
I've thought more and prayed more about solid waste than any other issue other than the power plant since I've been on this board. And you wouldn't believe it would be so complicated. I want to remind all of us, me included, that at our last meeting, Mr. Bishop advised the board to be very careful in how you apportion the cost of solid waste. It has to be uniform, and the people that pay the most are the people that get the most service, or say it the other way. Your services that you get must be, I guess, commensurate. Is that a good word? I'll put that quote. Must be proportionate. The services must be proportionate to what you pay. Which brings me to honey camps and solid waste. Now, I know it would cost probably $30,000 to do the study, like we did on fire service, to know if we're charging or overcharging hunting camps and RVs. But unless we have that information available to us to justify what we're doing, then our attorney has advised us we're running a risk here. So the question is where are we going to get $30,000 or whatever it costs to do the study?
He told me it was 30 last time. It'll probably be 50 this time.
All right, so needless, Luana, do we have $50,000 in the continue? Well, I guess Danielle?
Yes, sir.
We can fund it without doing anything to solid waste.
Yeah,
and then they will take all of a year for the study to be completed. And then the next year we'll have that information available to us. And if this study, Wallace comes back and says, hunter camps all not paid $3, then that'd be what it is. If they all be paying full amount, that'll be what it is. That way you've got something to base your decision on. I can't support today doing anything with the RVs and the solid waste until I have the data and the justification for doing it. Now that still leaves the fact that we've got 140 versus the 154. I promised some folks, and I'm bad about promising things that you can't deliver on sometimes, that I wouldn't increase that 100 and that wouldn't increase that until we first made it fair. But if we've got to have some money in order to get the money to do the study to make it fair, I think that I could justify that.
I can't justify going up on the 140.
I can't. I had too many people tell me they would
quit paying the 140 if we didn't charge everybody the same thing.
I don't want to go up on the 140 until we get the other part right.
Well, he said you could go up proportionate. So if you went from 140 to 154, then all the hunting camps and RVs would go up also. They wouldn't be left at their current rate. They would go up the same percentage. I guess it would be factored by percentage.
$5. When they carry tires and washing machines and sofas and mattresses up there, just like everybody else does. And my constituents, 9 out of 10 I talk to, on everybody on the same page. But when they cut down trees in their yard just because they live in a camper, they're going to cut down trees and they're going to haul them to the dump. And they're going to carry mattresses and they're going to carry ice boxes, air conditioners, tires. I mean, that's where I'm at with it, you know. And people, the ones that's paying the most taxes that I've talked to, now want everybody on the same page.
And I agree, because just like I've said before, there are people living in RVs and sheds that that are full-time residents in those sheds and RVs, and they have families in some of them, and I know they have to be generating the same amount of garbage as a single person in some places that lives and pays the 140 that generates very little garbage. But one thing that I want to see happen is, I don't know whose department it is, if it's the tax collector or ours, but somebody needs to go down every road in Taylor County, every district, and if there is a shed and it's being lived in full time and they've got an extension cord going over to mama's house or a friend's house, then those people need to be paying their share.
You've got 4 or 5 trailers down there in Cedar Island right now. Look at one electric service and one water hose. And they generate the same amount of garbage as that house that's renting them in lots.
Who would do that? Who would be charged with doing that?
I believe it would be the tax collector.
What do y'all think?
What do the code enforcement officer does?
could the code enforcement officer perhaps start going down and making a list of people that are living in sheds and RVs that are there full time?
I think the property appraiser, but he's got folks out there in this good position.
I think
position.
He's the tax
collector. He could get me writing on a notepad. I saw this right in the address.
I don't know that the code enforcement, I mean, that we could not relay that information, but as far as actually field people who do this, I do believe the tax collector has people on staff that who do that, as far as I know.
Could we send him a formal request that this is what we would like to see happen because we feel like we're missing revenue, or what would be the proper way to handle that?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to check and see what they're doing now, because I believe they do make field checks. I don't, and I don't know the process that they use, but we can certainly communicate with the tax collector and ask, what is your process, and to ensure that they're not missing anyone.
Yeah, and would you either come back with us with, or let him come and see what it would take to do it? Because I'm just positive in my mind that we are losing revenue.
Well, and I believe that there was a question about people who have RVs and claim homestead exemption. Should we make sure that they're paying the full amount? And I think that was another suggestion that I heard. And I don't know what their current process is for that.
Yeah. Well, if they're claiming homestead exemption, yeah, that tells me that they're living there. But you know, this business about looking at their electric power bill, if they've got an extension cord run over to somebody else's house, that is not going to reflect what's really happening there. Right. So,
but they don't get homestead exemption unless they own the property.
Right.
So those houses that you see, those down in the coastal area, if the resident in the home has the homestead exemption, then those mobile homes is there.
Right, but if he's got two friends that are camping there, and you know, they need to be paying too if they're staying there more than just for a season.
Right. I'll go back to my position on the state. How can we do anything as far as charging anybody anything? On the RVs and the hunting camps, until you first have some agency, some expert who comes in here and he studies our situation in our county and he says, you need to divide it up, all the RVs that people live in full time, pay the full amount, or if you live there half the time, and it becomes an administrative nightmare. And I don't know whether we've accomplished anything or not, but I just feel uneasy in going against the advice of our attorney on doing anything right now to that the RV hunting camp situation.
But probably if you do that study, you're going to come up with an issue, those people who dump C&D in the household garbage collection,
well,
that could be is paying for that, then you'll probably get some recommendations that you need to do something about C&D.
That's right. And I was going to ask, could this, whoever does this, could they identify the ones that are have the extension cord going? Or do they go out and actually look, or do they just take data that we have on record? Because if they just take data we have on record, then
I don't know.
Because you don't separate C&D, it all goes to the rural site. And you don't have an idea of how much C&D's taken there during the year, unless you start doing it by the trailer boat. You don't have any track record.
Could we just perhaps see, we need more information. How much would it cost? What exactly would they do? What would they deliver? What kind of results would they deliver to us?
And would they study the whole thing, the CD issue as well as the RV issue?
Yeah, just...
I'm like you about that. I can't see throwing $50,000 out there. Somebody's just going to sit at their computer and figure it out. But you know, I'm not into that.
No.
But they're going, we're at the point where we're running behind on our funding for our solid waste.
Okay.
I mean, we need to do something. a person that's worried about an extra $100 a year is not going to sue you anyway, if that's what you're worried about getting sued, if the attorney's worried about getting sued.
Well, that's what he's worried about.
And that's what he's worried about. But a person that's worried about another $100 a year ain't going to sue you anyway. If you can't get an attorney, you can talk to you for $100. I mean that's just common sense.
What's your suggestion?
I suggest that we go for it and make it even. I've talked to 100 people in my district about it, and they did not, the people that paid 140 did not have a clue that their neighbor that was living in a camper trailer wasn't paying the same thing. I mean, and it upset them. Everybody needs to be on the same page. I'm not talking about one or two, I'm talking about dozens of people said, you mean they're not paying the same thing? I said, no, they're not. They said, well, they cut trees down in their yard. And the lady said, my neighbor hauled an old camper to the dump in Steen Hatchet. They parked the camper out on the road going into the dump, left it. You know, so I mean, I talked to people in several districts, in y'all's district. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm not just talking about my district, I'm talking about several districts. And Thomas's district, your district, and your, and everybody, the average person does not know that their neighbor's not paying the same thing as them.
Well, it does need to be fair. And, you know, the business with the hunting camps, if you can afford the camp, the hunting club, if you can afford the club fees, if you can afford all those dogs and to feed them all year long, and the big truck that goes with it, and all the guns and all the ammunition and everything else, and you can't pay another $100, that kind of, I don't quite understand that.
And if they can drive all the way up here from Tampa?
That's right. You know, so people that are in that hunting business, most of them have money. Marty?
I was just going to say, why don't you do like we do when we do salary surveys? Why don't you call some of these other counties? I'm sure that they've had surveys done, like Suwannee and Columbia. I know that Taylor County has one of the lowest harvest fees in the area.
You know, I think Gary's already done that.
We've done that.
And you're right, we do.
So. Well, you know, I give you the information from the counties I've checked, and most of them was about the same. I think Columbia County was the only one that was higher. Dixie County is the same as yours. I got that survey stuff. A lot of them don't bother with those issues. They check the light bill. You know, I can give you all that stuff.
Now, Dixie County charges, like Tim has suggested, whether it's a hunting camp or an RV or a house, you all pay the same. That's what Dixie County does. I talked to their attorney. And what are their commissioners?
And the rest of the county won't take nothing but household garbage.
Well, they say.
I mean, that's just.
After a storm, they started taking some CD.
And a storm and a hurricane, that's a different story.
Come back and buy.
They hear from you.
Well, they get some FEMA money to cover that.
All right.
Commissioner Demps, I want to hear from you.
I want to hear. Meadow is.
Don't leave that open. I heard one person to tell me that. He said, we rent from Four Rivers or Three Rivers, whatever it is now. I said, we only allowed him that 3 months out of the year.
Same man called me.
Well, he didn't feel like he ought to go up. But I talked to the mass of the people who's paying that $142, $141, feel like everybody should be paying the same thing. He has the right, and he claimed the spot in the system where he can get it every month. So they felt like everybody ought to be paying. I've had something to do, like Jim says, that they didn't know the neighbor wasn't paying the $142 a year. They thought everybody was paying the same thing. Until we ran up on the shortage and found out we were running short and we need to bring everybody up to speed. It's a nightmare, and I heard what our attorney said. Hey, 6 1/2, half a dozen. Or 6, then another hand. You call it whatever you want. I was at half a dozen, just 6.
Would you support the potentially $50,000 survey, or to go ahead and raise it, make everybody the same? I think that's kind of where we're at.
Oh, goodness. $50,000, not a lot of money going out. $50,000 almost helps out where we need to be.
Yeah, that's right.
But I reckon
and we don't know for sure 50,000. It may be less or it may be more.
Yeah.
We could hold a lot of garbage for $50,000 and take care of a lot of things that need to be taken care of in the county. More important than study, I think.
Now, I think we need to look forward the rest of this year. I think we're probably going to look at a shortfall and have to take some out of contingency to make solid waste whole. So we need some more revenue there.
Are you firm on wanting to go with the, spend the money and go with the survey?
I can always vote no. We have to make a decision. And I can go either way. I wish there was a way. Well, I won't say that. You can't make everybody happy when you're sitting up here. And I would just feel more comfortable if we had some justification. And I don't know any way to get any justification if we're doing it right, except to do some sort of a survey. But I'm with Jim. I can't increase the 140 to 154 or even halfway there until we try to make. And maybe we ought to look at Sahara and RVs and hunting camps and look at the CB and some other avenue to increase our revenue. There's no easy way out of this. But it's obvious that three of the four of us who are present today want to go ahead and make everything across the board there. And, you know, I keep faulting with that thinking.
It makes it more difficult when you have a constituent sitting here staring you in the eyes, too.
Well,
when you're talking about going to get something that they really have expressed their opinion.
He and I have been friends long before I got on this county commission. And one vote is not going to make Wallace happy.
He just has bad eyes.
I know how it feels.
He's my spiritual advisor as well as my.
It makes it hard.
Well, it does make it difficult.
You know, but.
Walk and talk to me, brother.
Got to look for the whole county. Got to look for the good of the whole county.
It wouldn't be for an increase of about $85, would it? It won't be, though.
I'll send an email out after the last time I came here and talked to y'all. To our membership. Mm-hmm. And 90% of the members we have live out of town. Of those 90%, only about 3% have a sticker where they deposit in our dumpsters. The rest of them take them back to where they came from, Tampa, Panama City, Plant City, Fort Myers. You can find justification of raising because we are in a dilemma about we don't have enough money to run the program. But do we have enough to say you come up here on the opening day of hunting season, you come up here Thanksgiving, you come here Christmas, and you don't come back up here to next year in April for turkey season and pay $154 for garbage that you don't ever dispose of in this county? And like I said before, these people spend money in this county. You don't believe it? Go up there and ask Rockies. They buy gas up there. They buy ammunition up there. They buy food up there. All of these Walmart and these Minute Markets and all, they benefit during hunting season more than they do during stock season. And if we could, you know, as far as the sales tax, that's where we benefit from on that.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a way that we could put a sales tax on solid waste to be used for solid waste. That way you got everybody that's going to pay. Everybody's going to be a part of it. Whether you live in a camper, or you live in a mobile home, or you live in a house. I paid $140. my daughter lives up on an acre of my land, and she lives in a fifth wheel camper. She paid $140 plus she buys a tag for her motorhome. Mm-hmm. And she pays it every year just like we do. Because I told her, she said, well, we can get it as a hunt count. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're living in there continuously, 12 months out of the year. But how can we justify charging somebody who stays here at the max 3 or 4 months out of the year, charging them $154 for solid waste that many of them don't even use the solid waste facilities?
But that's their option. It's here if they decide they want to take nasty garbage back to wherever they're from instead of putting it in the dumpster. And I know up at Rockies, the owner told me, yeah, they put it in my dumpster. He's had to put a sign up there. He said, I have sat here and watched them do it. They fill my dumpster up and it cost me an extra, whatever it was he told me, a month. But, you know, it's just like with my rentals. Sometimes they're not rented for a long time, but I still pay the $140. I'm not using it either. So I think when you get into that, whether you use it or you don't use it, well, this one, he leaves his garbage. Well, this one, he takes it back to Georgia or whatever. There's no way to monitor that. To me, that's just the cost of coming to hunt. Obviously, you've got money to hunt anyway. Are you going to not come to Perry, Taylor County, because you got to pay a garbage fee? We got good hunting here. People look forward to coming here. You can't tell me they're not going to come back because they have to pay a garbage fee. That's just my take on it. I think they should pay what everybody, I'm like Jim, everybody needs to pay the same. That's just my opinion.
How much do you pay for those hunt camps? How much do they pay? $40 a unit?
They're paying $40 per unit.
I think it's now, 46, 46,
40 something.
66.
What I'm wondering is, I know some places, and you were talking about sending the tax collector, look, I know some places that's got campers on them that there's nobody in there, but yet, and they haven't been used, but the man hasn't had time to come up here and remove the campers and take them off of his property. And he's still paying $41 and something for those two campers, and nobody stays in them, nobody uses them.
Well, that's his fault.
Well, you know, I agree with you. But then you've got some other places that are people are using campers and they're not paying anything.
That's right, and they should.
And if you catch those, you get those people who are not paying anything, you're going to increase your revenue. Now, I've got nothing wrong with a person who brings in a travel trailer and he sets it up and he stays there 12 months out of the year. He should pay $140 or $154. That's justifiable. But I don't see it's justifiable to pay $154 for 3 months out of the year.
Well, we just don't really have a foolproof way of determining who's taking their garbage back or who's not living here. Well, it's just like my uncle back when we were all youngins, and he had 7 youngins, and we stayed there a lot. Everybody was real poor. And when one of the youngest done something, none of them knew anything about it. So he lined all 7 of them up, and he whipped all 7 of them. And it's just the same way with these campers. How do you know which one is and which ain't? You've got to charge them all the same thing to get the right one.
Ms. Pam, I'm not saying don't charge the people who are taking it back. I'm saying charge all the hunting camps the same thing. $40 or the $50 or something, and whether they take it back or not, that's their business. We still got their money for disposing of their trash, even though they don't dispose of any trash. But we've got to have, as Brother Malcolm said, we've got to have some way to justify if these people are staying there full time or they're not staying there full time.
Which is an administrative nightmare.
I don't think there's
Mark will tell you that's
And I guarantee you there are people in this county, just like y'all were saying, there's people in this county who are running extension cords to other people's places, and they're not being charged a dime because they're not using them. They don't have a power pole, and nobody's going out there to check them. And they're generating just as much garbage as the person they're pulling the power from.
They are, but I don't believe there's anybody that's going to be able to determine if this Mr. whoever he is taking his garbage back and this one is not. Who is going to be able? Nobody's going to be able to prove when they say, well, I take my garbage back. We're going to have somebody there every weekend to see if he takes his garbage back versus the next one next door he leaves his. I mean, Wallace, this is impossible to determine.
I'm not saying don't charge the people who are taking it back. I'm saying charge everybody in a hunting camp that has a hunting camp that stays there for 4 months or less a lower rate than what you charge. Will they take their garbage back or not?
How are you going to determine how long you stay for you? 4 months or less.
You can always go to Tri-County.
And then you got all the rental people that's going to say, here's my bill. I didn't have anybody there either. Then pretty soon we're going to lose more money than we're taking in right now if you open that door.
Well, what we're going to go to was we'll have people do this, two more people to hire on the payroll to do all this. There's no easy way out, folks.
Best thing, just raise everybody to the same thing. You and I never, and I respect your opinion, Wallace, you know that. But you and I are not
going to
agree on this.
Well,
obviously we're not.
That'd be okay.
But you know, but I'm speaking as a president of a hunting club who has 90% of our members are from out of town, and they pay garbage disposal fees down in their county where they live, and some of them's a little bit higher than what we are, some of them's a little bit lower than what we are, but. Realize this. You've got to do what you've got to do. Right. But I'm trying to protect our county from, and there are some people who have the attitude, well, if you're going to do that to me, then I'll go someplace else to hunt. I'll go over to Jefferson County and hunt, or I'll go up to New Lowndes County and hunt, or I'll go to Madison County to hunt. And
well, we may lose a few, and those few are not paying that much anyway, but the whole thing is you're representing a hunting club. As a commissioner, I'm not representing an elite few. I'm representing 23,000 people, and I'm trying to look after the people that have lived here. They work day in and day out in Taylor County. Their families have. And we're talking about going up on theirs to pay for something that somebody else is doing. This is not an easy job.
Well, I realize that. I served on the city commission in Madison for 4 years, and it wasn't an easy job to do that when you had to raise gas prices, and you had to raise your sewer prices and everything else, and I know where you're coming from. But one suggestion was made, and it seemed like y'all throwing that out, but go to $154 on the people who are full-time and raise these people who are part-time up the percentage of what it'd be like $54, $55 a year. And it'd still bring you more money in than what you've got now.
It's still not fair.
So let me ask the board this. Is there any appetite for a two-tiered system on RVs, hunting camps? Hunting camps is a different classification from all the rest of the RVs that are not hunting camps.
They're going to say they're fishing camps.
That's where I think it's got a lot of problems in it, but you could say everybody pays the same thing unless you're a hunting camp, and then you pay a third or half, whatever it is. And to prove that you're a hunting camp, you go up here and see the tax collector. And you get the list of hunting camps that are in the hunting clubs. You justify whether you're a light bill, maybe that I am a legitimate hunting camp.
and that's more work on the tax collector, I know. I'm just throwing it out as a thought, a two-tiered system. Hunting camps be treated differently than all the others. But then Jim, I think, was going to bring out, then they're going to come up and want to say, well, I want the same thing for my, I'm a fisherman.
Right.
You know, what's the difference between a fish camp and a hunt camp? So if you get to thinking this thing through, that won't work either.
Yeah.
All right. There's yes. A man.
I am not the man.
Commissioner Demp wants to speak.
Talk about
you. You know, I'm just wondering, it's $8 a month times 12, $96, is that what you mean?
What's that now?
8 times 12, 96.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you
we're talking about $8 a month. That's what we're talking about, right?
No. What do you...
Well, if they're paying $40 a month or $46 a month now.
Yeah.
And you need...
It ain't a month, no, it's a year.
It's a year.
Okay, yeah, okay. You're paying about $40 a year. Everybody else is paying $140. Look like to me $8 more per month to the hunting clubs or the RVs yeah. or whatever. It's only $8 more per month.
No, it's a year.
No, I'm $8 more per month. Eight times 12 is 96.
Yeah, $8 a month is not much money.
No, it's not
if you
much
can afford
money,
all that no. other stuff I described earlier anyway. Dogs, trucks, membership, mm-hmm. beer.
You got that. Yeah, we're off of beer. 112 pack goes from $15. Hello.
I guarantee you they can pass up their truck before they come.
So Mark, do you have a way to identify the hunting camps?
Sure, absolutely.
How?
Give me two more people. We're doing it right now by just going during the hunt season. We go get the keys from Foley and all that good stuff and go out there and go through the woods and such. That's how we're identifying them right now. Ordinance, I have to look at the ordinance again. I don't know exactly how it defines a hunting camp, but I think it just lists them as a hunting camp. I don't mm-hmm. think it says any particulars.
But they can be identified.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, we call it hunting camp, but now when we get down to the beach during scallop season and we have, you know, a part-time RV down there, we're calling it a hunting camp also. So, I mean...
But you have people in the field. We were talking about your process earlier.
Yeah, I have one person in the field. And now, granted, everybody else that works in my office is either looking in the newspaper or they're riding around. If they see something, then they're writing it down, and we're coming back in and checking it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, see something, say something, like sheriff. Yep.
Do you know which hunters take their garbage back with them and which leaves it here?
If I was
No, you don't.
But if I was a hunter, I would burn my garbage at the hunt camp. That's what I'd do.
Except for the bottles and the tin cans.
And they're just going to be strung out on the roads. I know in Camp Misery one time we had a cleanup day and it was picking up bottles and natural light cans. That seemed to be the most popular beer choice in those cans.
Let me ask you this question.
That is the most trash is beer. Mm-hmm. If they would ban beer in the hunt clubs, it puts everybody in danger when you're down there because a lot of them's drunk running down the road. And
that's part of the hunt.
If they ban it, it wouldn't be dark.
Part of the hunt, says Miss Ann.
Well, it's not.
The joy
that I've drinking hunt.
Mark, do you have, let me ask you, do you have a way to identify the people that are living in sheds? I know. And I see people living in sheds. I mean, sheds that are built and sheds that are metal sheds that are bought.
Right.
And they may have an extension cord running over to somebody else's house.
Sure.
There seems to be quite a few of those. There's even some in the city now where people, and if they're living there, they're not, most of them probably are not claiming homestead exemption.
Right.
They don't have a power bill. But
they don't have a permit.
We feel like we're losing revenue, quite a bit of revenue, right, from such a living situation as that. And we're wondering, how can you get a handle on that?
there's probably, I mean, when they get a permit, here's how we do that. If they get a permit, then we're able to capture it that way. We'll go out and check it. Bruce was out there looking too at the same time. I don't know how you...
If they don't get a permit, then they're off the map. Looking for permits.
Yeah, they're off the grid.
Who goes and checks?
Code enforcement would be, on this side, would be the ones that would see something going up and they would...
So we need code enforcement to see if each one has a permit.
Because a permit catches it on our end. I mean, I've got a guy that he's out there. Today he's not out there, but he's out there almost every day during this time of year and hunting season. So, I mean, that's more than you're looking at, what was that, 8 months worth of, 7 or 8 months worth of him being in the field.
City and county, right?
No, just county.
I'm talking about city too.
The city, we don't have anything to do with. The city does their own. We don't do anything for the city as far as garbage collection.
But I mean, we still charge city residents. No. It's just county. That's right.
Just county. Okay. Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, the permit gets pulled for that camper or RV that somebody's going to live in. They get a power pole. We know about it. We get them.
Or if we get a complaint.
Or if we get a complaint, we go and check it.
Code enforcement. But code enforcement doesn't patrol. I want to make that clear. They don't patrol looking for people who may not be paying their assessment.
It's more complaint-based.
It's complaint-based.
Yeah.
And I know there was a question asked about if someone files homestead... claim to homestead exemption, do they pay the full 140?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you monitor that for
us. Bruce's office, we monitor Bruce's office. I get all those from him, and we get the ones that are claiming homestead.
But the easiest way to do it, to ensure, is to charge everybody the same rate. That way you're not missing anybody, and then identify the ones that don't have a permit, or they got the extension cord running over, and they're living there full-time.
Right.
Identify those, and they have to pay $140 or
$154,
whatever it's
going to
be.
Right. Sure, I think it is. The only thing I'd warn against is I sat over there when we made this decision to go to the third for the hunting camps.
Right.
And two things happened. The heat came off of this board, and the heat came off of the tax collector's office. Because Jack Tedder and Ken came over and talked to us about it. It was a nightmare. And there's not as much heat on the tax collector's office because you turn around and say, well, you got to talk to your board member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the heat really comes back to this board.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that. Do I think it's fair personally that somebody would have to pay for a hunting camp when they're only there 3 months out of the year? Personally, I don't. But now, I was the guy that if somebody had already had a dwelling and was paying $140 at that time, the other dwellings that they had, if they weren't renting them out at the beach or a hunting camp, I didn't think they should have to pay at all. But that defeats the purpose, I think, of what you guys are looking at.
Yeah.
But that's where I was originally on the board.
You know, I have constituents that tell me, I don't have any children in school. Why should I have to pay? So, I mean, everybody would have an argument of why they shouldn't pay something.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's the cost of living. That's the cost we all pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to hunt or live in an RV because whatever reason, you got to pay.
Right.
You want your kids to be taken care of, so you pay your school tax. I mean, that's just part of life.
Right.
I don't use fire service. Never have used it one time. It was a passion fire.
Right.
But I pay for fire tax.
That's right. I had a man.
I got a little background in the electrical industry, having served a couple of boards for a long, long time. There's something that's called a basic facility charge. Wallace is familiar with it. If you get a light bill from, say, Tri-County, I don't care if you use 0 kilowatt hours, it's going to be about $29 or $32 because there's an investment in trucks and wires and transformers, building structure,
all of that overhead has to be covered by somebody. And the fact that you're connected to the grid has a cost.
Sure.
If you don't want to pay it, take your meter out. Well, the same thing with solid waste. We've got 7 or 8 roll-off sites. We've got an incinerator out here, you know, of solid waste. We pick up C&D. We do all of these services. We've got trucks. So there's a cost that everybody needs to pay part of to have that service available, basic facility charge. Now, what that is I don't know. And that's why I put in my pitch for the study. But I'm not sure the study's going to tell us anything. They may come back for $50,000 and say, y'all need to charge them less. That doesn't help us anymore. Or you might need to charge everybody the same. Yeah. I just don't know if that's a wise investment of money.
You know, Mr. Pate?
I just, like I said, I've spent more time thinking about this than anything except the power plant, Mark.
I can imagine it, sir.
You hear that?
Yeah, I'm sure the power plant, sir.
Commissioner Dent.
City do that now. If you got a gas line hooked to your house, you got a water line hooked to your house, you got a sewer line hooked to your house, you cannot have them. Nobody for a year has basic charges you don't pay.
My gas is $1. Never cut it on.
Same thing at the beach. If you at
the grinder pumps and stuff,
it's an enormous price that we pay down there. And there's been months and months we did not use any.
I never use over the minimum water bill.
And when I question how high it is, just like he just explained, you've got to have this and this and this and this, and we need your money to make sure that we can keep the operation going. Whether you're using it or not, we still have to keep it going. So that was a good analogy. Thank you for that.
They didn't take it all into that bad baby.
That's right.
Just that bad is just on the top.
We've talked it down for how many hours? We've got to decide what we're going to do.
Y'all decide. And if it's 3-1, I'll vote we all.
Commissioner Moody, what you want to do?
I want to put everybody at the 140.
Commissioner Dents?
140.
140.
Well, I said I wouldn't be the loner. Okay. I'll have to go with the 140.
All right, and this is against our attorney's advice, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Mark, that's not going to make it any harder on you, is it?
It makes it easier on me. I just am afraid it's going to make it harder on you folks.
But it is.
It will.
When they come over and complain, give them my cell phone number.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I will. Do them. I don't mind talking to them. Right's right and wrong's wrong. We got the stick and gun on.
If I lose my job over $100 for somebody that spends thousands to hug, then hey, I don't need to be here. Okay. Next on the agenda. Thank you, Mark.
No problem.
Appreciate you coming over.
No problem.
It's freezing in here. Number 5, the county administrator. Oh, before we go on that survey, I think it seems like to me it's a consensus not to spend $50,000, so don't worry about looking for someone.
And the consensus I'm hearing from the board is to, I guess, would be to ask our attorney to draft an ordinance to raise the solid waste assessment to make, well, actually, you would repeal the ordinance for the exemption.
Or maybe get amended. You know, he's a lawyer, however you want to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, Danielle, how does that affect our budget planning?
I have to look at it.
Okay.
It's going to bring in, as I recall from prior discussions, $196,000
along those lines.
$196,000.
Everybody gets to 140, but I guess
all I'll have to do is just amend something in my computer, so it's fine.
Well, the other part of that, I know we, I can't speak with, we pay in Dixon County $44,000. How in the world can we get that reappealed?
I'll answer that.
Go ahead.
In the original agreement, or one subsequent agreement, right after the original, the four counties agreed that to attract Dixon County to come to the landfill, that they had to be given some equalization money because they have to haul their garbage greatest. And the only way you can change this agreement is for the four people at Osceola, four commissioners that you that are appointed to do this, and then I'm sure it probably have to go back to the county commissions for ratification. But Jefferson County and Taylor are the only two that have to pay it.
Yeah.
Addison doesn't have to pay anything because they
post county.
They're the host county. So you can forget about them, they're not going to change it. Well, Dixon County is not going to vote to change it and give it away. So it'll be a 2-2 vote and it failed. So I don't know how to do it.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Then they threw up the Fed County and Live Oak at that time. Were you here when that
was probably was done? I was not here, but I've heard Mr. Gulabi tell that story hundreds of times.
Okay, what do you say?
But it started out with 11 counties. We're going to go together and try to make this great big landfill.
Yeah.
And they kept peeling off. Okay. So finally, when the site was selected, it got down to three counties, Taylor and Madison and Jefferson. And make this thing work. You need some more garbage in there. So they attracted Dixon County with that, for lack of a better word, that bribe. You know, it's an equalization cost. And so one county decided they'd go into business on their own, which didn't last long, and now they haul their garbage way over here to the folks in Georgia. At more money than we could get them to come over to Madison, but their county administrator won't talk to us. We did get Lafayette County to bring the county that's generated in the county, not the city of Mayo. They bring it over.
Is it going to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we gave them $1 a ton less price than we were paying. And I said, no, this won't stand. But the board said that.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured out a way that we could reimburse each of us $1 a ton. So we get a little check. Danielle gets a little check about every 3 months. It might not be for $4,000 or $5,000, but it makes us pay the same thing
that
pays.
Okay.
But to get them to come, we had to give them what the lawyer called a quote, most favored nation status.
Yeah.
You know, a little cheaper price.
Yeah.
But we need some more garbage.
Do we need more garbage, or we can go by get less?
We need more. The expenses are all going to be about the same. We got 80 employees, we got the landfill, and we got the money in the bank to buy equipment with. If we could take in another 1,000 tons of garbage, then when you take this amount of money we need divided by extra tonnage, that number comes out smaller, which means you can reduce your rates if we had more garbage over there, because we won't have to hire more people. We'll have to buy another bulldozer. So if you know anybody that needs a home to put some garbage, good clean garbage, let us know. We've tried Leon County, we've tried Suwannee County. Now, if you go reach out, and it's so far the hauling cost.
Yeah.
In fact, we even thought about buying our own trucks and hauling it in here, but we can't make the numbers work. But if you figure out a way to save us that $40,000, we're certainly busy.
Bigger the better, I won't say.
Yeah, we need more garbage. We need more tonnage.
Yeah.
if the cost is the same and your tonnage is greater, and you divide it out, the cost per ton is, now we can lower our tonnage. We can lower our speed. We're paying $43 now on a $7 rebate, $50. Mm-hmm. If you want to lower that to 30, that board over there could do that next time we have a meeting. Don't escrow any money for new cell construction.
Yeah.
Don't escrow any money for our new bulldozers and that high price equipment. And then when it comes time that we've got to have a bulldozer and it costs $550,000, just say, Taylor County, send us a check for your part of it. We're out of bond, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a... And I've argued that maybe it's smarter if we didn't escrow all that money and just financed everything. Well, if you do that, you're paying interest. So it's working pretty good the way it is.
Okay.
And we got a room over there that is, we can take all the garbage and additional garbage for at least the next 75 years on the space we've got. So we're not going to run out of space because we hope in the next 75 years technology is going to change. And there'd be some better way to dispose of garbage.
You'd probably be getting garbage from Miami then.
Probably be, yeah, right.
You know, be bringing it this way.
Right.
Okay.
You know, that's the tallest mound, also the landfill is the tallest place in Madison County. We actually had a wedding not too long ago up there on top of that garbage heap. I'm not kidding. I don't know what it did about these birds.
Once this new fee goes into effect, LaWanda, then I expect solid waste to be whole. Mm-hmm. They should have everything that they need, and that operation shouldn't have issues and problems. I'm going to be expecting a lot. We're going to provide the money now. I want to make sure that the services are there. It's good. And I don't want my little 85-year-old man that takes two little trailer loads of stuff there of when the storm came to be told we can't bring but one load. So, you know, we need good bins and we need good service and we need good equipment. The tractor that's been tore up needs to be fixed so that we can burn. And, yes.
I want to say one thing while we're talking solid waste. We need to do away with the cards and have nothing but the stickers. And put a year date, 1920 on them.
Yeah.
And then the following year, 1921, whatever. That way, if somebody wants to buy a new vehicle, they can't take the sticker off. Once the sticker can only get it off and put it on another vehicle. They can't be passing the sticker around. It needs to be on that car somewhere or that truck. And if they want another one, they can come up here, bring their old sticker, and get them a new one.
Okay, I agree with that. Do you agree with that, Commissioner?
I agree with that, Jim.
Go ahead.
Well, let's do that. Let's just go ahead and do it.
That'll help.
You brought that up enough. Let's just go ahead and do it.
Go ahead and just do it. It's a sensible thing to do.
It needs a yearly. It needs to be a color one year and a date on it.
A different color.
A different the next right. year, just like the hunting club.
That's right. Anything else?
Okay. Anything else we need
County
to
County Administrator number five. Nothing? Okay, everybody ready to go home? Have a good day.
Thank you.
Do you have your packets? We have your packets for tomorrow evening's workshop.
Yeah. Tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Next set the millage. Yes.
To set the millage, the proposed millage, and then 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, we're going to hear from the water board.
Yes, sir.
And this is our group tomorrow.
We'll be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Yes. What about Wednesday? Nothing Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
This is 7 p.m. Thank
you. So the special meeting is at 5 and then the workshop is at 6 tomorrow?
Yes. Okay. So
I'm planning to be here for the 5 o'clock. I'll probably listen to the workshop.
Thank you.
So tomorrow is going to be the end of the week. That's the end of the week, by the way.
I think it's Tuesday. Poor old mother is testimony. I think
we'll be done.
Okay, for a week.
Well, he didn't know what to do.
And then what
you That's
what we're
doing.
Who's that?
Robert Muller. He's watching you. Yeah. Oh, man. Stuffing around there. What's your name?
Well, he looked different right after that meeting. Yeah, he's smart now. I'll tell you what, he can get out of moves. Stuff you mean about that.